Welcome to the Focus Church podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that it inspires you and gives you a fresh perspective. Enjoy the sermon.
Matthew chapter 25, in light of the terrorist attack from Hamas on Israel, in light of the increased shootings, in light of the global climate, I want to prepare us for the return of Jesus. I don't know when, but I want to be ready for whenever. I'm not here to prove when. I'm here to prepare you for when. It is not my job to try to predict the hour. You can look that up on YouTube, some weirdo with a webcam that looks like it was shot on an Android device. He'll tell you when. I'm here to prepare you for whenever. Trust me, all the links have been sent to me. I've seen it all. That's not my job today. My assignment today is not to tell you when he's going to return, but tell you he is going to return and for you to be prepared for when he returns. I think it's important. And so Matthew chapter 25, a parable of the 10 bridesmaids. We'll read verses 1 through 13. I love God's word. Feels good to be in church, doesn't it? I love it. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish. Five of them were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps. But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. You're at a church today that believes in an abundance of oil. We don't want the bare minimum of oil. We don't want half the oil required. We want extra oil over our children, extra oil over our marriages, extra oil over our families, extra oil over our households, extra oil over our finances. I don't know about you, but I want to be a person of extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And at midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." And all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. There's some things I've got that I can't give to you. There's some things I can't loan you. There's some things in my life I can't do for you. There's some things you got to do for yourself. There's some preparation you got to do for you. You can't hang on to my coattails and expect your connection with me to get you into the door. I don't know. This is not an all-access pass to eternity with Christ. There are some things only you can supply." He said, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others reply, "We don't have enough oil for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." And while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Currently, at the time of this recording, right now in the year of our Lord 2023, the door has not yet been locked. But I want to let you know, if you're out to buy oil, when the door is opened, you might come back and find it locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you." There are some things you never want to hear from the voice of God. "I don't know you" is one of them. "Depart from me, I never knew you" is what another scripture will say if you enter into eternity and have not served him well. Verse 13, so you too must keep watch. You do not know the day or the hour of my return. Let's pray. Father, we need oil. We need oil in abundance. We need oil in our hearts. We need oil in our lives. We need to be over-prepared. We need to be wide awake and over-prepared for your return. In a day and time where it seems like chaos is erupting around the globe, in a day and time where there seems to be less safety in the streets, I pray that we would be people with an abundance of oil. If anyone is empty today, may they come and drink. If anyone is broken today, may they be mended by your Spirit. And if anyone is far today, may they end up close. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. In the early days of youth ministry, the Lord assigned my family and I to a little town in Florida called Okeechobee. It was podunk. A lot of redneckery was happening in Okeechobee. There was no such thing as a normal birthday party or bachelor party. That was just a hog hunting outing. And I showed up to this assignment as a youth pastor with a Honda Accord. And I looked in the church parking lot on my first Sunday at that church, and it was the only Honda Accord in the parking lot. Everyone else had a truck. So I did what every person does. Like Paul says, he becomes all things to all people. I knew it was my assignment to no longer have a Honda Accord in the land of trucks. So I traded in my Honda Accord for a Chevy, which is my first mistake, 2500. It was a dually, and it had a gooseneck trailer hitch. I went all in. I've never had anything that needed to be hauled with a gooseneck trailer hitch since then or then. But I figured if I'm going to fit into my cultural context, I needed a big truck. And I would wash that truck. I would take care of that truck. I'd clean that truck. I even got the windows tinted. I got the youth group logo embossed like on the window decal in the back. But I was changing that truck's oil as frequently as I was changing the Honda oil. If you know anything about a Honda, it'll run forever. I mean, you change the oil every 3 years on a Honda, you're fine. And I would take care of the outside of that truck so much. And one day I was driving and some smoke started to erupt. And it wasn't good smoke. It wasn't like I had one of those stacks where the big rednecks, you know, they all, you know, go in there and pollute the air and stuff like that. This was the bad kind of smoke. And I took it to the mechanic. He said, there's no oil in here. And you've blown a head gasket. I didn't come from a mechanic's household. I have no idea what that meant. But he said, I'll buy this truck off of you because it's pretty much useless. The repair costs more than the actual truck. He said, I'll just buy it for you for parts. Because there was no oil on the inside. I had washed it on the outside. I had taken good care of its exterior. But what I hadn't done is I hadn't maintained its interior. And many of you have taken care of looking like you're close to God. You've taken care of showing the world that you're Christian with your Instagram bio, but on the inside, there's no oil. On the inside, it's bone dry. On the inside, you're not ready. On the inside, you would claim the name of Jesus, but you got no oil on the inside. And I'm on assignment today to prepare you that there will come a day where the outside will no longer matter, and all that will matter is the inside. Your body will no longer be valid, but your spirit will matter more than ever before. You got to have oil on the inside. You can't be living this life empty. You can't be living this life void of oil. Here's what I've learned about God's return. He is not returning for shiny lamps. He's returning for those with oil. He's returning for those with oil. And I don't want to be a church that improves your exterior complexion without ever preparing you for the internal need for an endless supply of oil. See, many of us have been anointed with oil on our heads. Many of us have been commissioned into ministry or have been at one point told that we were going to do great things. But oil on the outside means nothing if there's no oil on the inside. Your accolades, your certifications, your degrees, all of that is nothing if your heart is empty. All of that is nothing if you're far from God or distracted when he returns. I love the shepherd boy David gets anointed in the Old Testament in front of all of his brothers. Oil is running down his face, down his neck, and down his beard. But he doesn't go straight to being the king. He goes back to serving his father's flock. What I love about David's spirit in this time in his life is he did not let what was on his head get to his head. He didn't walk around to his brothers demanding things that he had not yet earned. Instead, he took what had been placed on his head and he let it get into his heart. And he said, I'll continue to serve in my father's field until my time is right. And many of you, the moment someone put their hand on your head, you thought that you deserved the world. But oil has to make its way from your head into your heart. And you got to go through a process that says, I might be appointed for something great, anointed for something great, but there is process involved to make its way down. I preached like I'm preaching now to 12 people in a middle school gym for so many years. You're like, man, that church was just handed to you. Oh boy, let me show you the receipts. It was bad. I remember one Sunday, our first Thanksgiving week, when all of you go to grandma's house and don't come to church, the offering was $11, and I had put in $10 bill. I said, well, I'm just gonna grab this $10 bill because ain't nobody else giving, I'm gonna take it back. You have to go through a process sometimes, but you better be ready for when Christ returns. You got to be ready for when Christ returns. He's not returning for lamps. He's returning for oil. And here are three characteristics of wise bridesmaids. We need wisdom. We need to be wise bridesmaids. The half-brother of Jesus, his name is James. He says, if you lack wisdom, you need to pray for it. And so if you lack wisdom today, you need to pray for it. And here are characteristics of wise bridesmaids. Number one, they are prepared. The reason you have to be prepared for Christ's return is because you don't know when he's going to be returning. So I live every day like he's coming back today. I live prepared. And I'm not talking about Y2K prepared. I'm not talking about buckets of food and gallons of water. If you like that stuff, that's fine. I'm talking about spiritually being prepared for the return of Christ. Let nothing in your soul be in conflict with Christ's return. You don't know when he's coming back. Therefore, you must be prepared at all times. You can't take a day off in preparation for the return of Christ. You can't say, I'm gonna go live this way for a little bit, and then when wars start to increase and rumors of wars start to increase, then I'll go back. You don't know the hour. Jesus himself said you don't know the hour. So we need to be prepared at all times. A wise bridesmaid is always prepared. Prepared. Number two, they are present. They're not looking anywhere else. They're not distracted. They're always present. They're listening for the footsteps on the other side of the door. They're listening. They're listening and they're fully present. Their ears are tuned to what God is doing on the earth. Their ears are tuned to what the Lord said in his word. And the promises thereof, and the prophecies thereof, and they're attuned, they are fully present, they're not distracted. Sometimes in this culture, it can be very hard to be fully present. We can be so obsessed with likes, comments, and subscribed. Last night, my wife gifted me with a trip to the portal of heaven known as the Angus Barn. I just feel the Holy Ghost just thinking about it. I have been 12 days in a city with no meat. They believe beef is holy, so you don't eat sacred cows. So as you can imagine, a guy like me, because we were so close to their river that they use for worship, there is no meat whatsoever within like a 300 kilometer radius of this idol. I'm like looking for the black market. We're walking the streets, I'm like looking in alleys. I'm looking for the guy with a ribeye. I'm like, where's the guy with the ribeye, dude? Find me some cow. There's cows everywhere, by the way. Cows everywhere in the streets. None of them are being slaughtered. I'm like, let me teach y'all something. I'm like, that guy right there, he tastes good. Whatever you handed me just now doesn't taste good. That guy out there on that street tastes good. So we went to the Angus Barn. And she said, what are you thinking about right now? And I said, well, first of all, I'm thinking about this steak. And I said, second of all, I'm thinking about how I haven't been to church in 12 days and I have to preach tomorrow and I'm thinking about what I got to do tomorrow. And she said, would you mind giving me 45 more minutes of your attention? So I flipped my phone over and I gave her my present attention. Some of you are distracted. And God has put a table before you. And he wants communion with you, relationship with you, desires to dine with you. And you are so distracted with chasing things that don't matter and scrolling endlessly on TikTok, which doesn't matter. And what God desires is for you to be present and alert and attentive because he's going to come back and you want to be able to hear the footsteps. They're prepared. They are present. Number three, they take personal responsibility. I own and reserve the right to build up the stock of oil in my life. I'm not waiting on a preacher to do it. I'm not waiting on you to do it. I'm not waiting on a good song to give him my praise. I'm not waiting on a good church service to give him my praise. I'm taking personal responsibility to build up a reservoir of the presence of God. I'm gonna turn off the TV and I'm gonna turn on the praise and worship. I'm gonna reach over and I'm gonna lay hands on all the children that live in my house. Why? Because I am taking personal responsibility for the oil level in my life. I'm not expecting you to do it for me. I'm not expecting anyone else. I am taking personal responsibility for the oil. I'm gonna have more than enough. If you came in here empty, I'm encouraging you to take personal responsibility for the oil level in your life. If you're not close to God today, take personal responsibility. Don't wait on me to be the one 36-minute supplement for the meat from the table of the Lord. Instead, you get to praying on Monday. You get to reading on Tuesday. You get to prophesying on Wednesday. You get to evangelizing on Thursday. Don't just leave me out here being the only one. Take personal responsibility. In a culture that says, let the government do everything for me, we believe in the kingdom that says, I'm gonna take personal responsibility for myself. This is a day and time where you can't wait for some YouTube supplement preacher. Take personal responsibility for the oil level in your life. Am I preaching too hard or you like it? Okay, just making sure. If you're offended, we need the seats, so. You can leave right now, but if you leave right now, we'll know it was you. Three characteristics of wise bridesmaids. They're prepared, they're present, and they take personal responsibility. Okay? I own the oil. I own the oil level. I'm not the oil, but I own the oil level. I'm not the oil maker, but I know who supplies it. So I'm after it. I'm after the supply. Here are five characteristics of foolish bridesmaids. Okay, I'm gonna help you. Number one, they're drowsy. They kind of are sluggish. They're not alert or attentive or intentional. They show up late to everything. They treat church as casual. They treat Bible reading as optional. They treat raising their kids as kind of a secondary thought if we get to it. But if the tournament has happened on a Sunday, the tournament comes first. Ain't nobody like this American preaching. Proverbs 6, 6 through 10 says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and what? Become wise. That's what we're after today. We're after to be a wise bridesmaid, not a foolish one. They have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work. They labor hard. Come on, somebody who likes some hard work. All summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long? Some of you got teenagers. You're like, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. I don't know about you. I don't want to be drowsy in the presence of God who's looking for an alert and awake and a present church. This is not something that we're treating as casual. I'm awake today. I don't know what time it is. My body clock is way off. I was in Dubai 13, 14 hours ago, but I'm not letting my body dictate my sleep. Am I tired right now? In my body I am, but in my spirit I'm awake. Some of you, you lack work ethic and you wonder why when Christ returns, you might not have enough oil. Wake up a little earlier. Wake up in single digits. Go to bed in single digits. Ain't nobody want to hear this practical teaching. You just want to know when the rapture is happening. I'm not telling you when it's going to happen because I don't know when it's going to happen. But I know when it happens, you better be awake. On the trip home, it's a 16-hour flight. Not fun. In case you're like, oh, this must be glamorous traveling the world. You try 16 hours next to a stranger. And I took some melatonin. I don't know if you've ever taken melatonin before. It's beautiful. I put an eye mask on, beautiful. I bought a neck pillow, beautiful. And I reclined my seat and I was knocked out. Have you ever had such good sleep your dreams got weird? My dreams got weird, dude. I was like at the Chiefs game and I met, you know, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. You know, like, how in the world did this happen to me, you know? Patrick Mahomes gets injured and they put me in the game, you know? Like, I became the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's how deep sleep I was in. It took me a long time to wake up. It took me a long time to get reacclimated to what was happening because I was so asleep. Do not get caught drowsy in the presence of God. Make church attendance a priority. Make prayer with your wife a priority. Make raising your kids right a priority. Make reading the word daily a priority. Don't fall asleep. You need the work ethic of the Amish community in this day and time to work so hard, laboring into the presence of God. I'm not talking about striving for significance or salvation. Grace has been given to you freely. I'm talking about staying in communion with God. I'm talking about walking with God. I'm not talking about doing works to earn your salvation. I'm talking about being so grateful for salvation that you don't take advantage of it, that you instead stay awake and don't fall asleep. Don't make church optional. Don't make the presence of God optional. Don't fall asleep. Be prepared to answer for any laziness in your life. Be prepared for it. Wake up early. Pray. Go to work. Be faithful. All right, we gotta hurry. They're drowsy. Number two, they're depleted. They're empty. They're empty. If you're married, you'll understand this. But if you were to go into your wife's car and you look at the gas light, perpetually on. I've never gotten in my wife's car and there ever been enough fuel. It's always empty. Can I get a witness from anybody here today? I just don't know how it happens. She needs me to move it. How come she needs me to move it every time it's on empty? Smart. Can you move it out of the garage? She knows it's on empty. I got to go all in the store, fill it up, you know. Don't live your life on empty. You got to have a reservoir. You got to have a reservoir of oil that says no matter what I go through, I'm going to remain full of the presence of God. Overflow. Don't get to the bottom of, don't need this service to fill you up. This service should be overflow. This service should be a reserve tank. Now, I'm not saying he won't fill you up if you came in here empty. But if you are a wise bridesmaid over time, discipleship would say, church services don't fill me up. They overflow my cup. I didn't need this church service to get full. The moment my feet hit the ground at JFK, I started preaching in tongues. Because we haven't been able to even say the name of Jesus out loud for 12 days. We haven't even been able to say that we were Christians. We had to say that we were tourists. So just know this, I'm not waiting on a service to fill me up. I'm keeping a tank in the trunk so that when I come in here to the presence of God, it's overflow. I'll get here early because it's overflow. I'll stay late because it's overflow. I'll never burn out. The reason I never burn out from preaching is because I never preach from an empty place. Many of you have to take a step back from serving, but it's not serving's fault that you're depleted. It's not the fact that you're greeting for 10 minutes before the service that's draining you, trust me. It's the fact that Monday through Friday, you live like the world and you try to come serve God from an empty place. I don't understand burnout. I don't understand. If you're a believer, you should. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm never burned out from serving. I'll preach until these vocal cords give up, until they wheel me. I'm going to preach until they wheel me off this stage in a coffin. Why? Because I can't be burned out. I come in here full. I don't expect this to be the place that fills me up. I feel good. My body don't feel good, but I feel good. Joy that overflows. Number three, they're desperate. Not in the good way, in the bad way. Unwise, foolish bridesmaids are frantic. I've tried to keep all the words starting with D because I'm a preacher. But if I was going to shift it, it would be frantic. It would be chaotic. Desperate chaos. Like, I need it. I need the oil right now. Where can I get the oil? He's coming back. I didn't bring enough oil. Some of you live so frantically. You don't have enough reserves. You don't have enough margin in your schedule to know the peace of God that passes all understanding. You have no peace to give because you've got no peace within. You can't be a light out there because you got no light in here. So you're out there asking other people, please give me some oil because my lamp's going out. Please give me some oil. You better have your own oil, church. You better come in here with your own supply. 36 minutes from this dork ain't gonna help you very much. You cannot be desperate and frantic and crazy. You have to live a life that is so full that you never are looking around for other people's oil. Number four, they're distracted. They're distracted. They're drowsy, they're depleted, they're desperate, and they're distracted. Some of you are chasing things that are not of God. And you wonder why the blessing and favor of God is not on your life. You're chasing things that are not of God. That relationship is not of God. Stop chasing it. You're distracted. The devil knows because he can't take your salvation, he can try to distract you from your significance. And so you'll chase a dream that's not of God so long that when he comes back, he'll say, why didn't you go that way? And you're like, well, I was busy going this way. You better have discernment that you not be distracted by it. This church could easily do so many more things. But we've chosen to be focused, pun intended. Why don't you start a school? I can't be distracted. Why don't you start a food pantry? I can't be distracted. Why don't you start a drug recovery? I can't be distracted. Why aren't you doing men's ministry with the Beast Feast and all the meat and bring everybody together? I can't be distracted. Why don't you start a Bible school? I can't be distracted. I'm trying to do everything God calls me to do and nothing more. Because there are many churches, even within the church, that are distracted. And if we're distracted, we won't be focused and we'll have spiritual ADHD on the will of God for our life. So I have to say no to more than what I say yes to, because I don't want to be busy going to buy oil at the time when he returns. You got to stay focused. You got to stay faithful. You don't have to get into everything. You don't have to be the entrepreneur with 12,000 businesses. Or you don't need all the prefixes before your name to be significant. You can just stay focused. You don't have to be distracted. If you're busy, you might not be ready. Distraction is one of the ways that the enemy uses to creep up on the church. So we could be distracted with all the programs and fun stuff and not focused on preaching the gospel. Got to stay focused. And when he can't defeat us, he'll distract us. It's getting hot up in here. Fifth and finally, they are distant as the keyboard player returns to make me sound more spiritual than I really am. If you're not close, you're far. Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. We don't serve a distant God. I was in an atmosphere this week in India where people serve a God at a distance. They beg for this idol just to come close to them. And the thing about that idol is that it will never move. It will never speak. It will never move. And it will never bring joy or hope or peace. But we serve a close God. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. He's in the whisper. And the wise bridesmaids were close. They could hear the creaking of the door opening up. They could hear the door swing open and they could hear the groom invite them in. While the five foolish ones were out buying oil, distracted, depleted, defeated, destroyed, desperate, and distant. You came into a church today that believes no one deserves to be distant from God. And I want to let you know, the door's still open. And I would hate for you to get to the end of your life and for God to say, I don't even know you. That's the truth of the gospel, that we serve a God who sent his son Jesus so that we could, the atoning price that was paid for you and I was so that we no longer have to be distant. We can be close. And as we draw near to God, he draws near to us. That's why I love this church. Presence driven, we get close to God. So I love this church because I don't know where else you've been, but we are close to God. And we believe that we're an equal opportunity to proximity for everyone in this room. There's nothing you've done as of this time that has jeopardized your proximity with God, but there will come a time where the door will lock. I don't know when that time is, but the door will lock. And when the door locks at all of our locations, serious moment right here, there will be no second chance. You gotta be close. You gotta remain vigilant and close. Watch and be ready, for no man knows the hour. If you came in here today and you're far from God, look at me. If you're distant from God today, you are one decision away. And the moment you turn back to God, he's right there. If you feel distant from God, you came to the right place, because this is a place of proximity. This is a place of grace. This is a place that believes that though you have to make this decision for yourself, you won't have to live the rest of your life by yourself. I believe that you came to a place that can see you increase your proximity with God. with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving or leaving at all of our locations. You want to be close to God today. You're distant, but you want to be close. I'll give you an opportunity today. It's very simple. It's not complicated. There's no ritual. You don't have to go bathe yourself in a river or burn incense or do some sort of empty chant or go see some sort of priest that will pray away your sins on your behalf. You can make this decision for yourself today. By the blood of Jesus that we were reminded of today during communion, you too can be close to God. Maybe you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm one of the foolish five, and I want to be one of the wise five. I need my cup to overflow. I need my lamp to be full. I need to be ready for Christ's return. If you're not ready for Christ's return, today is your day of salvation, and you came to the right place because you came to a place that believes you are one decision away from being close to God. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you've been drowsy. Maybe you've been sleepy. Maybe you've fallen asleep at the wheel. I declare that today will be the last day that you are far from God and you will be received when the door opens. There's an open door right now. There's an open door, and if you don't walk through it, if you don't receive the gift of salvation today, this might be one of the only opportunities you have in your life. And if Christ were to return in the next 10 minutes, would you be ready? Would you be ready? Are you ready? Here at this church, the way we recognize our readiness is simply by acknowledging our need for Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we do that by the raising of our hand. In just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Raising your hand doesn't make you saved. It simply acknowledges that you acknowledge your need for a Savior. It's not some sort of magic movement. This is you simply saying, I surrender. I acknowledge His Lordship over my life. He is King and I am not. He sent Jesus and He will forgive me of my sins. If you are ready to make that acknowledgement at all of our locations today, I'm gonna count to three. And when I say three, I want you to make a bold move. This is not a time to be casual or private or conservative. This is a time for you to boldly say, I'm in desperate need of the one who is going to return. I'm in desperate need for my oil in my lamp to be overflowing. If you are far from God today and you need salvation, you came to a place of grace this morning. If that's you today, at all of our locations, when I say three, I want you to shoot your hand up in the air. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed right now. Don't be caught shopping for oil when He returns. There is no more time. Time is running out. I'm not gonna get into biblical prophecy. I'm not gonna get into the culmination of events. I'm simply going to prepare you for right now. If you're not ready, and you say, I need Jesus, I need to be saved, I'm not walking with God, I am distant and I want to be close. One, two, three, shoot your hand up in the air right now. Shoot it up high, shoot it up high, shoot it up high. Hands everywhere, shoot it up high. Keep your hand up in the air, we're gonna bring a card to you. Shoot it up high. Don't be embarrassed right now at all of our locations. Shoot it up high, shoot it up high. We're not playing any games today. This is not a time to play games. Keep your hand up until someone brings you a card. We are stealing from the devil right now. Keep your hand up until you get a card. Second response. If you're a believer, but you're running low on oil, you say, I want my cup to overflow. If you say, I'm a believer, but I'm running low. I got a lamp, but I'm running out of oil. It's been a long time since I've been in the presence of God. I know I'm saved, but I need to be filled. I know I'm saved, but I want extra oil. If you want extra oil today, if you say, I want extra oil, would you stand to your feet right now? You say, I want extra oil in my life. You're a believer. You say, I want extra oil. I don't know about you, but I'd be standing up right now. Everybody needs more supply. I need extra oil in my life. I need extra oil in my life. Just lift your hands to heaven right now. Just lift your hands to heaven. I need extra oil. I need extra oil. I don't want to be caught depleted. I don't want to be caught empty. I don't want to be caught desperate. I don't want to be caught with the gaslight on in my spirit. I need to overflow. I need overflow. I need overflow. Would you lift your hands to heaven across this room and at all of our locations? Fill us up, oh God. Fill us up. Fill us up from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Fill us up right now. Fill us up, Holy Ghost. Fill us up. Fill us up. Every sickness and disease has to go in Jesus' name. Every marital conflict has to go in Jesus' name. Every child who is a wayward has to return home in Jesus' name. Fill us up. Fill us up, Spirit. We are ready for your return. Jesus, we are ready for your return. Come back, Lord. Come back. We are ready. And until you come, we will be agents of the gospel. We will be full of the oil. Lift your hands to heaven. Just begin to sing out a new song. Begin to sing it out right now. Fill us up, oh God. Fill me up, oh God. Fill me up, oh God. Fill me up, oh God. We worship you, Jesus. Praise you, God.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. This ministry is made possible because of the generosity of so many people like you. To partner with us, you can click the link in our description or visit www.givetofocus.com. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe now or share it with a friend. For more inspirational content, subscribe to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/focuschurch. Join us next week for another incredible message.